Jaya Radha Madhava Puja Vihariya Obidama Vala Bhagirvara Dari Yasuda Ramdana Kvajajana Rajana Yasoda Ramdana Brajajana Rajana Yavuda Tira Manatari Jaya Rada Madhava Puja Vihari Kopi Jala Madhava Girvana Dari Yasura Ramdana Bhajajana Rajana Yavuna Dira Bhadachari Sayarana Bhadava Puja Vihari Jaya Rada Madhava Puja Vihari Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramatma Rajakacharya Stenis at the Sri Sri Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramatma Rajakacharya Stenis at the Sri Sri Manas Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Shri Prabhupada Ki, Radha Koti Vaishnava Ki, Iskar Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki, Namacharya Shri Radha Koki, Ravishikoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Bhakti Ki, Sri Radha Krishna Govinda Shyam Kundarada Kundagiri Govinda Ki, Vrindavan Ki Mathura Ki Mayapur Namadik Ki, Gangavai Ki Jamurvai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Garanga. All the Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All the Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All the Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Right of the last creature, the Ramjai Vadarotava, David Saraswati Vyasa, Tojaya Budirai. Let's read the introduction to the chapter. We're starting a new chapter, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. In this chapter, Sri Krishna's pastimes of breaking the cart, Shakata Manjan, killing the asura known as Trinavarta, and demonstrating the demonstrating the entire universe within his mouth are especially described. When Shukadeva Goswami saw that Maharaj Parikshit was eagerly waiting to hear about Lord Krishna's pastimes as a child, he was very much pleased, and he continued to speak. When Sri Krishna was only 3 months old and was just trying to turn backside up, before he even attempted to crawl, Mother Yashoda wanted to observe a ritualistic ceremony with her friends for the good fortune of the child. Such a ritualistic ceremony is generally performed with ladies who also have small children. When Mother Yashoda saw that Krishna was falling asleep, because of other engagements, she put the child underneath a household cot called Shakata. And while the child was sleeping, she engaged herself in other business pertaining to the auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Underneath the cot was a cradle, and Mother Yashoda placed the child in that cradle. The child was sleeping, but suddenly he awakened, and as usual for a child, began to kick his small legs. This kicking shook the cot, which collapsed with a great sound, breaking completely and spilling all its contents. Children who were playing nearby immediately informed Mother Yashoda that the cot had broken, and therefore she hastily arrived there in great anxiety with the other gopis. Mother Yashoda immediately took the child on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. Then various types of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies were performed with the help of the Brahmins. Not knowing the real identity of the child, the Brahmins showered the child with blessings. Another day, when Mother Yashoda was sitting with her child on her lap, she suddenly observed that he had assumed the weight of the entire universe. She was so astonished that she had to put the child down, and in the meantime, Trinavarta, one of the servants of Kamsa, appeared there as a whirlwind and took the child away. The whole tract of land, known as Gokula, became surcharged with dust. No one could see where the child had been taken, and all the gopis were overwhelmed because he had been taken away in the dust storm. But up in the sky, the Asura, being overburdened by the child, could not carry the child far away. Although he also could not drop the child, because the child had caught him so tightly that it was difficult for him to separate the child from his body. Thus Trinavarta himself fell down from a very great height, the child grasping him tightly by the shoulder and immediately died. The demon having fallen, the gopis picked the child up and delivered him to the lap of Mother Yashoda. Thus Mother Yashoda was struck with wonder. But because of Yogamaya's influence, no one could understand who Krishna was and what had actually happened. Rather, everyone began to praise fortune for the child having been saved from such a calamity. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was thinking of the wonderful foretelling of Vasudeva and began to praise him as a great yogi. Later, when the child was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, the child yawned, and Mother Yashoda could see within his mouth the entire universal manifestation. Text 1. Sri Rajavacha. Yena yena vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishwara Roti Karna Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho Yena yena vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishwara Karoti Karna Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho Yena Yena Vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishwara Karoti Karna Ramyani Mano Gyani Chana Prabho Yera Yera Vatarera Bhagavati Hari Ishvara Kroti Kada Ramjani Manogari Chanaprabha Yera Yera Vatarera Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Kroti Kara Ramjani Manogyani Chanaprabha. Ladies, Yena Yena Vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Kroti Kara Ramjani Manoyari Tanaprabho. Ladies. Yena Yena Vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Kroti Kara Ramjani Manogyani Tanaprabho. Yena Yena Vatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Kroti Kara Ramjani Manogyani Tanaprabho. Yatavatopat Yaratiya Vitrishna Satvam Tasudyat Yacharena Pumsa Bhaktirhara Tat Purushe Chasakya Tare Vaharam Varamanyase Chet. So do the word meaning. Sri Rajivacha. The king inquired from Sukadeva Goswami. Yena Yena Avatarena. The pastimes exhibited by different varieties of incarnations. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari, the Lord. Ishvara, the Controller. Kurti, presents. Kara Ramyani. Were all very pleasing to the ear. Madangyani, very attractive to the mind. Cha, also. Da, of us. Prabho, my Lord, Shukadeva Goswami. Yatshidvata, of anyone who simply hears these narrations. Pati vanishes. Anati, unattractiveness. Vitrisna, dirty things within the mind that make us uninterested in Krishna consciousness. Satvamcha, the existential position in the core of the heart. Shudyati, becomes purified. Atirena, very soon. Pumsa, of any person. Bhaktiyara, devotional attachment and service to the Lord. Tat Purushe, with Vaishnavas. Cha, also. Sakyam, attraction to association. Tat Iva, that only. Haram, the activities of the Lord, which should be heard and kept on the neck as a garland. Var, kindly speak. Barashay, you think it fit. Ket, if. Translation. King Pirikit said, "My Lord Shukadeva Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes, and one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him, and friendship with devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord." Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Maha Mukhahai Moga Vanchakare Nikasta Maya Tare Japatiyadare. Our material existence is Maya, or illusion, in which we desire different varieties of material enjoyment and therefore change to different varieties of bodies. Brahmayan Samabhutani Yattarudani Maya Sarapi Kleshara Asadeha. As long as we have these temporary bodies, they give us many varieties of tribulation, adiyatmika, adimotika, and adidaivika. This is the root cause of all suffering, but this root cause of suffering can be removed by revival of our Krishna consciousness. All the Vedic literatures presented by Vyasadeva and other great sages are therefore intended to revive our Krishna consciousness, which begins to revive with Shravanam Kirtanam. Srinvata Swakata Krishna, Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures exist simply to give us a chance to hear about Krishna. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful and which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally such avatars as Matsya, Korma and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. First of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. But Pirikit Maharaj specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amazed Mother Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Raja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putana, Trinavarta, and Sakatasura, and showed the entire universe within his mouth. Thus the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yashoda and all the inhabitants of Raja in great astonishment. The process to revive one's Krishna consciousness is Adar Shara Tata Saru Sangha, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees. If one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Pirikit Maharaj recommends that one hear about Krishna's childhood activities, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Korma, and Varaha. Wanting to hear more and more from Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Pirikit requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. So far the class is all right. We're almost finished. Oh my God, to be run the shah, Jaral Jaral Swakaya, Takshuru, Lilatan Jira, Dasmai, Sri Gurve Namaha. Krishna's It's being stressed here how Krishna's childhood pastimes are very, very attractive to hear. And by hearing them, we desire to hear more and more. It makes the process of wanting to hear this knowledge a lot easier. Now, Prabhupada, in that first paragraph, he's describing this hearing process. Then right at the end, he cuts it. He says, first of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna. This is the root cause of our suffering. So this condition, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions the condition when when the sugar cane doesn't taste sweet. The sugar candy tastes bitter, jaundice. So this is so sweet, it's unbelievably sweet. But somehow or other, the living entities can't hear because they have this jaundice-like condition. So what is that jaundice condition? This material existence is maya or illusion. The desire for material enjoyment of different varieties. And then we have to travel. We always repeat this now. We have to travel all over the universes, getting one body after the next, just to really not enjoy. Practically speaking, we're attached to suffering. But somehow or other, due to conditioning, we think that the suffering is enjoyment. When we die, say we die and we have pig-like consciousness, so we take birth as the pig. And then, before we go, though, we go to Yamaraj. And you have to be conditioned so that you can think this is very nice life as a pig. Otherwise, how could anyone stand it? So they start feeding the poor conditioned soul that's being punished by the Yamadutas. They start feeding him stool. And they force him. If he doesn't eat the stool, they beat him. So after a while, he starts eating the stool. And then after a while, he starts discriminating. He starts thinking, oh, the stool today is better than the stool yesterday. So he's ready. He's ready to take his next body as a pig. So this conditioning of the material energy is our punishment for wanting to be Krishna. So we have to come here and we have to try and be Krishna, and then we're suffering so much, miseries from our own body and mind, miseries from other living entities, miseries from the natural conditions, too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. So this suffering is going on, and we're taking it as, well, it's better today than yesterday, or whatever. We're taking it as something. It's better. Something's better than nothing. So we're getting a little bit of material enjoyment. We're getting a whole lot of suffering. But this human form of life, when we get the human form of life, it's the chance for getting out of this incredible cycle of suffering. So this is a great opportunity. And for the devotees, we've been introduced to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of our spiritual master. This is the greatest thing. No one can have anything better. And as devotees, we're beginning to enjoy our eternal life. It's all eternal. The whole show is eternal. So we're not going to become different at the time of death. We just remain that same eternal personality. So if we can develop our Krishna consciousness at the time of death for a pure devotee, one of the Prabhus was telling me that someone asked Prabhupada, they said, what happens to you, specifically you, what happens to you at the time of death? And Prabhupada said, nothing. And the devotee didn't explain anymore, but I speculated. According to Shastra, you're serving Krishna if you're a pure devotee, and at the time of death, you continue serving Krishna. It's almost like lightning following thunder, or thunder following lightning. So it's very immediate. That's why a pure devotee, he is completely fearless, because he knows who he is. So what's to fear? He's fearless because he knows he's serving Krishna now and he'll serve Krishna in the future. So the devotee suffers to see the suffering of others, but simultaneously he's blissful. So how is this possible? This is possible because it's pure devotee can have both conditions simultaneously. It's not that you become morose or you're going to be morose forever. The mind and the intelligence is thinking of so many things, millions and trillions of things constantly. In the material world, the mind has millions of desires. Actually, it's the same desire to enjoy Maya. It just looks like millions of desires. And for the pure devotee, these desires of the material world, his mind has become a great ocean. So he's not disturbed by any of these insignificant rivers entering the ocean. But in the mind of the pure devotee, he has millions of plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. He has unlimited spiritual desires for pushing on Krishna consciousness. This is our the position of our founder Acharya, our great spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He was constantly engaged in pushing Krishna consciousness in hundreds and thousands of different ways. There's no shortage of desire for a pure devotee of the Lord. He's just not interested in these two-bit desires of the material world, meaningless. So what if you're enjoying some pig body? Oh, I'm enjoying so much eating stool. Oh, that's just wonderful. There's no glory in it. Actually, it's all insignificant. So how do we go from completely insignificant to significant? So this is explained in the Bhagavatam also, that when one becomes a pure devotee, he becomes a significant personality, just like the Lord himself. So this is a, you know, because I say, wait a second, we're completely insignificant. But Srila Prabhupada's not completely insignificant, and Narada Muni's not completely insignificant. So the Bhagavatam explains there that we're significant, just like the Supreme Personality of God, when one becomes pure. And Krishna's business, Krishna wants to see everyone to become pure. He doesn't want people rotting in this material world. He's way more interested in bringing us back to God than we're interested in going. I think Prabhupada said in another place the same type of thing, like he says here, that actually we're not even interested in going. That's our problem. As soon as we become interested, then Krishna will make all arrangements. Krishna gives us the intelligence by which we can reach him. So this intelligence is there, even in the material life, but we're using our intelligence for sense gratification. And the intelligence, we use it for sense gratification, so we doubt, well, this type of sense gratification, I don't think it's going to please me, so let me engage in this type. We have doubts. So these doubts, when we use our intelligence, and we're approaching the spiritual platform, so then we have to use our intelligence to understand Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning, there may be so many doubts, but then Krishna reveals himself in so many ways, so we have some faith, we develop great faith in the spiritual master and Krishna after a while. And then when we take initiation, these doubts are supposed to be pretty much vanquished by transcendental knowledge. And then we don't doubt. We doubt our, we doubt our material, the material intelligence. You have to doubt the material intelligence because it's not really guiding you properly. So we associate with the pure devotees, and we start increasing our spiritual intelligence. And everyone in the material world, they think their intelligence is perfect. So we don't want to be like that. We want to see our intelligence according to Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. We check whether the intelligence is correct. So the great stage, the further stage of development of intelligence is when we doubt our own intelligence and we see what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra say. Otherwise, everyone thinks their intelligence is perfect. Prabhupada explains it in Bhagavatam. In the material world, everyone thinks their intelligence is perfect. Whatever you're thinking, if you're in Maya, you're thinking, it's perfect. This is a perfect plan, no problem. But it's not perfect. It's a complete disaster. Only devotees can see that the whole material world is disastrous. It's not whatever intelligence you're thinking you're creating some wonderful situation. You're not creating a wonderful situation at all. We were just hearing that Vyasadeva wrote a book, The 100 Fools, and he describes 100 different fools. And, number 58, I think, is one who thinks, even if he's 70, 80, older, he gets married. This is a good idea. Let me get married again. One time, that's a very interesting point. One time I met a man, and he was, I just was driving him around for like 10 minutes. So he started telling me his life. And he had gotten married 6 times, and all of them worked out really bad. And then at the end of the ride, he looked at me, and he was very sincere. The guy was about 75 years old. He said, I don't think I'm going to do it again. So the intelligence has to be checked. Rascal intelligence. And we're hearing here about hearing the pastimes of Krishna, especially the childhood pastimes. So we see that like Kartik, it's so ecstatic because we're thinking of that pastime of Krishna where he pulls down the 2 twin Arjuna trees and he's, it's such a nice pastime and we get to sing that pastime a couple of times daily and offer prayers to the Lord, offer lamps to the form of baby Krishna. So these childhood pastimes of Krishna, these will speed up our devotional development. See Krishna, he grabs Krishna and Balaram, they grab hold of the tails of the calves, and the calves drag them through the mud. Then we think Krishna opens his mouth and Mother Yasoda sees the entire universe within his mouth. And like these pastimes, Krishna's showing his power, and he's still in that baby body. Like when he becomes Vamana, he changes and he does this gigantic body and one of his feet pierces the universal covering and the Ganga comes in. And then Lord Nrisingadeva too. He takes that form and he has these razor-sharp nails to bifurcate. But Krishna just has his little body and his little hands, his little legs. But with these little bodily parts, he destroys all these demons. For instance, just with these legs, he knocks over this giant cart, which had sunk down a little. That's why he was able to kick it with his legs, because his demon had entered the cart. And the car had sunk into the ground a bit, so it was in such a position where Krishna could just give it a little kick. But then just this little kick, everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. And just by his little hands, we're going to read about it soon, just with his little hands, he grabbed Trinavarta. And Trinavarta was this giant whirlwind demon, but he couldn't get these little tiny hands of Krishna off his body. So Krishna's showing, even with his little bodily parts and the Putin the witch, Krishna just puts his little lips and he starts sucking her life air out, and she's screaming and hollering, but she can't get away from just the little teeny lips of baby Krishna. So the acharyas are giving some description like that. And then when Krishna starts, he's only 3 months here, so he's killing this demon. So that means he wasn't even 3 months when he killed the Putin the witch. Just a little tiny baby. So Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful. And if we somehow or other get rid of that jaundiced condition by hearing them, then we will want to hear them more and more and more and more. You can see how the process works. I mean, we don't think of God as in person, like one devotee was telling me, someone was saying, God is the greatest thing in my life. We don't say that anymore. We say, Krishna is a wonderful person, and he's the best thing in my life. We think of him as a person now. We don't think of him as a thing, you know? I really love my wife, that thing. You don't say that. You don't say thing for personal, for a person, right? I really love that thing. What else? Yeah. Oh, you have a comment already? Yes, we'll take it early. Madhavahad, you got a...
I just had that one comment when you were talking about how this material world, everybody thinks they're smart and... But then sometimes they get...
Perfect. Their intelligence is perfect.
So then I was thinking that sometimes they get depressed and they think, well, maybe I'm not so smart. So they go and they pay some money, a lot of money to a seminar, and they get an affirmation that they put on their mirror in the morning that says, I am smart. My intelligence is siddhoham humbogi. I am happy. I am... And so Prabhupada would point out the cheaters and the cheated. So you ever see, you get these affirmations that you say to yourself, I'm beautiful, I'm powerful, I'm strong.
I think that used to be a skit on Saturday Night Live or something like that.
It would be funny. And the other point is when you mentioned how you do see that your intelligence is bad. So there's actually a verse that...
No, you don't necessarily see that it's bad. But you check your intelligence with Sadhu Shastra Guru.
Yeah, so there's actually a verse that says that. So I was thinking of it. It's one of my favorite ones. It's Jatam Surito Pangor. Pangor means I'm lame. Mama Manda Matir Gati. That means I'm misdirected. I can't make progress towards the goal. So he recognizes that. And then, as you're pointing out, he says, "But so where is your direction coming from? The next Matsarva Sva Padambojo Radha Madhanamahono, that's the Sambandha Gyan, that's the spiritual master's instructions that he's given you. So even though we are lame and ill advised according to our own thinking capacity, because we're taking shelter of the instructions of the spiritual master, they're my directors and they're actually my light. So that it's all in that one verse. Says it.
Yeah, that's the verse. And Krishna tells us, just one last thing, I wanted to wrap it up. I was reading the, Sabhadabham Paritaya, Krishna says surrender. But the last probably 10 verses of towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita, before that verse, it's constantly surrender, surrender, surrender. I mean, Prabhupada must use that word 15 times in the course of those several verses. And I think about 3 verses before... Surrender utterly. It says surrender utterly to the super. Anyway, so that's the whole point, that we have to surrender completely. And why? Then we can become happy. What's the point of being... Plus, we can become independent. You're independent in your complete dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not like you've got to become a slave. Who's, you know, Narada Muni's a slave? Srila Prabhupada, no. They're so powerfully independent, but they're completely dependent on Krishna simultaneously. Yes, Mahatma.
Trying to improve your intelligence or repair your intelligence by taking a seminar or something like that.
Right.
Actually, in the early days, Prabhupada talked about, he talked about that idea. And he was talking about how in the material world, there's earth, water, fire, air, mind, and intelligence. And he said for all of the elements, like earth and water and fire, there's a science to deal with it, to repair it or to improve it or something. There's, even for the mind, there's psychology and, you know, all these things. But he said for intelligence, there is no science in the material world. When your intelligence fails, in the material world, there's nothing you can do. He said that's where the Bhagavad Gita comes in.
Oh.
That the instructions of Krishna to Arjuna, that's the science of intelligence. When your intelligence fails, which it will, like Arjuna's did,
right.
Arjuna was thinking, what can I do? I can't kill these people. I can't not kill them. My intelligence is completely bewildered. So then Krishna spoke to him, the Bhagavad Gita,
right.
And he repaired his intelligence.
Can we...
It's a real interesting lecture Prabhupada gave about.
While you have the microphone, we were talking, can we enter in this into the discussion, that letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Bhagavan Maharaj.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is a very interesting letter from Srila Prabhupada. You have it memorized? I'm not putting you on the spot too much here?
No, of course not. No.
Let's hear it.
I was there in the room when a letter came to Bhagavan Das, and it was from Prabhupada, and there was a part in there that just spoke to me, and, you know, it's one of the most instructive instructions. Prabhupada, he told Bhagavan, he said, "My dear Bhagavan, I'm so glad to see that you have developed the art that when anyone comes to serve Krishna, you know how to engage them in serving Krishna as they like to serve Krishna, not forcing them to do what they do not like to do." He said, "No intelligent person will accept that process." And then he went on to tell him again that he was happy that he had learned that art, that he was able to do that. He praised Bhagavan. He said, "No intelligent person will accept that."
Prabhupada even said that when you go to the spiritual world, you can serve Krishna as you like. And why not? Yes, Mukunda Prabhu?
And that was nice, guys. Also, the comment you were making about how Krishna enjoyed the different parts of his body.
Right.
This is written by Jiva Goswami. It is a very, very nice thing. Also, Krishna killed Putana. He was only 6 days old. So this is the very first thing. 6 days later, Putana showed in Vrindavan. But also, the acharyas have explained, when Putana came and Putana was killed, Sakatasura reported to Kamsa, "Don't worry," because they panicked at that time. They thought, "Putana, we know her. She's so powerful. How's possible that he could have killed her?" So Sakatasura told, "The reason is because Putana took a form. And because he could see her, that time, whatever mysticism is helping him, kill Putana." So then Sakatasura thought, "I'll go there, but I'm not going to take any form. I'm going to merge into something that's present there. That way he won't recognize me until time to kill him."
See, that's perfect, because it just shows Sakatasura thought he was going to use his intelligence, but his intelligence wasn't perfect. He didn't check it.
Same thing with Trinavarta. Then Trinavarta thought, well, the reason Sakatasura got killed was because he stayed in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So when I go to kill him, I'm going to take him and take him away. So in this way, each demon was thinking like this.
Yeah, they were all thinking their intelligence was perfect. That demon couldn't kill Krishna, but my intelligence is better. I will kill Krishna. Anything else? Die, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.